Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. After a few days without openers in Ugashik, the district was back to fishing yesterday. And we have the third set of stock composition numbers from Port Moeller. It's Thursday, June 27th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, the Chignik Intertribal Coalition issued a petition to the Board of Fisheries to close certain sections of Area M to fishing. It's a response to the Chignik's weak early run numbers. We talk with Axel Copen, a Chignik fisherman, about the actions they want the state to take.
You know, we've done all we can do, and now we're asking the state to step in and do the right thing and let fish get to our river.
Ugashik fishermen got an opening yesterday, but Eastside Management Biologist Paul Salamone is proceeding with caution in the area.
We'd like to go real slow on that until we figure out what's going on, particularly when we're looking at stocks that might be weaker than we think.
Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's get things started with the numbers. In the Nooshigak, yesterday's harvest was 375,000, bringing the season's cumulative harvest up to 2.4 million. Escapement in the district was 59,700, 40,600 of which came from the Wood River. 16,000 escaped up the Nooshigak River and 3,000 up the Agushik. Total escapement so far in the whole district is 622,900. Also on the west side, the Togiak caught 6,500, part of a season cumulative of 17,800. Taking a look at the east side now, the Naknek Kwijak had a harvest of 106,000 yesterday, bringing the season total to 250,400 so far. The day's escapement was 23,500, and the escapement so far this season is 167,000. Breaking it down by river system, 158,000 fish have made it up the Naknek River, with just 7,000 up the Kwijak and 2,000 up the Alagnak. In the Igigik district, yesterday's harvest was 189,000, part of a cumulative harvest of 922,600 to date. Big escapement numbers yesterday in the Igigik, with 102,400 fish making it up the river. The season total there is 274,900. And finally, the Ugashik was back to fishing for the first time in a few days. Yesterday's harvest was 15,000, part of a season cumulative of 17,800. The in-river estimate in the Ugashik is 5,000. We've also got vessel registration numbers for all districts. The biggest 48-hour bump in permits and vessels is in Igigik. That district had 392 permits and 306 vessels as of 9 a.m. today, but that'll go up to 430 permits and 334 vessels for Saturday at 9 a.m. It'll also pick up 10 D-boats, going from 86 to 96. The Naknek Kwijak will also see an uptick between now and the weekend. The permit total will go from 327 to 346, and the vessel count will go from 274 to 286. The number of D-boats in the Naknek Kwijak will go from 53 to 60. Things are staying more or less level in the Nooshigak district. Today's morning total was 831 permits and 632 vessels, which will see a small increase to 836 permits and 636 vessels for Saturday morning. It'll also add one D-boat, bringing the district total to 200 D-boats. No changes in Togiak, as there will be 28 permits and 28 vessels both today and Saturday. Still no D-boats over there. And finally, a slight bump in Ugashik, with 26 permits and 21 vessels going up to 34 permits and 28 vessels in the next 48 hours. The number of D-boats in Ugashik will go from 5 to 6. At the Chignik Weir, total escapement as of this morning is 19,000. The cumulative escapement is now 144,000. The South Peninsula's Area M has a total sockeye harvest of 579,500. The pink harvest is at 7.7 million. The North Penns Area M has a sockeye harvest of 208,800. Finally now, let's take a look at the latest numbers from Port Moeller with yesterday's catch update. Station 2 caught 0 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and just 1 in the 5.8-inch mesh for a catch index of 2. Station 4 caught 12 in the 4.5 and got 10 in the 5.8, making the catch index 49. Station 6 had just 1 in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5.8 for a catch index of 8. Station 8 got 22 in the 4.5 and 8 in the 5.8 for a catch index of 64. Station 10 had 3 in the 4.5 and 24 in the 5.8, putting the catch index at 60. Station 12 got 2 in the 4.5 and 14 in the 5.8, making the catch index 36. Station 13 only got one fish in the 4.5 and two in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 8. Station 14 got five fish in the 4.5 and seven in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 29. Station 15 had four in the 4.5 and 19 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 29. Station 16 got seven in the 4.5 and 11 in the 5 1/8, putting the catch index at 47. And finally, Station 18 had 15 in the 4.5 and 37 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 108. Also coming in from Port Moeller, we've got the test fishery's third stock composition estimate. This one is from June 23rd and 24th across stations 2 through 22. 35% of the fish sampled were heading to the Wood River, 34% were going to the Igigik, 13% headed for the Naknek, 11% were on their way to the Nooshigak, and 6% were headed for the Ugashik. The Kuskokwim, Togiak, Igooshik, Kwijak, Alagnak, and North Peninsula all saw less than 1% in that stock composition estimate. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in just a moment.
Support for KDLG from Cummins, offering off-season or immediate engine repowers from Alaska to California. More information on a repower through Mike Fortner at 360-742-2864 or George Piaskowski at 907-750-8055.
We're back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Thursday evening. The Chignik Intertribal Coalition issued a petition last week to the Board of Fish to close the Volcano Bay section, South Central District, and the Shumagin Island section to commercial fishing through August 8th, or until the Chignik's minimum early run escapement is reached. KDLG's Izzy Rocks talked to Axel Kopen, a Chignik fisherman and a member of the coalition.
Could you talk a little bit about the contents of that petition and what the coalition is aiming for?
The South Peninsula of Ariam heavily intercepts Chignik-bound sockeye in June month, and even heavier in July and August. The WASIP study showed that, you know, some areas down there, up to 75% of the sockeye they catch on a given day are bound for Chignik alone. Allowing them to continue to do that, not putting any extra restrictions on there to stop that, when we're sitting here failing to meet our escapement, we're not going to get our first run. We'll be lucky if we make our escapement. Our only hope is that our late run will show up and make escapement, and hopefully we'll be close enough on the early run that we can get out there and do some fishing. And if they don't put some kind of restrictions down there to allow our second run to get past them, we're just going to be sitting on the beach again like we did last year. And it's going to kill this place off completely. It's barely teetering right now. I mean, we've got a lot of people really freaking out here right now, and there's already people leaving. They're just taking off. They don't know what else to do. And, you know, we've done all we can do, and now we're asking the state to step in and do the right thing and let fish get to our river.
What are the specific restrictions that you would like to see the state take?
What we're asking for is the areas where they catch Chignik-bound sockeye. We named out the stat areas around the Shumagin Islands and the Dolgoy Island area. And there's a couple other capes there where they really nail eastbound sockeye. It's not just Chignik sockeye. They catch Cook Inlet and other sockeye too, but they really hammer the Chignik sockeye. We're trying to get those areas shut down until we know we're going to get our escapement. They can still fish their bays for their local pinks and chums and everything like that, but stay off the sockeye areas. Let our doggone fish get back to our rivers and get back to our river. And, you know, that's what we'll be forced to do if, you know, we get some back in the bays and stuff there. They'll put us right up at the head of the bays to try to fish some pinks and chums. They won't let us out on our capes, you know, in case we catch a couple sockeye. So I don't know why those guys can't do the same down there. So that's what we're asking for through August 8th or until we, you know, we're sure we're going to get our escapement. You know, those guys down there, like I said, they just go fishing. There's no worry about escapement. There's no closures. If it's a bad run, those guys still get to keep fishing. They don't have to stop.
What hope do you have that the state will take action on this or will consider your petition and take action based on it?
I don't expect anything from the state, to be honest. I don't expect anything. I know the Department of Fish and Game is not going to do anything. I mean, we had a disaster last year. The governor declared it a disaster, and then the state did nothing. You know, there was some assistance from BBNA, our, you know, part of our regional corporation. But that was it. Nothing came from the state of Alaska. But we got to try. I mean, you know, we got to try. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
Anytime.
And for a little more background on this, Izzy Ross is joining us in the studio now. Hey, Izzy.
Hey, Alex.
So on Tuesday, the Federal Office of Subsistence Management issued an emergency special action to close federal public waters to all but subsistence users in just five communities. And now we're seeing this petition. So what's the significance there? What's the connection with the rest of this?
Right. The Chinook Intertribal Coalition formed last year in response to the failed run there. Basically, they feel disenfranchised by the state. Axel told me he sees ARIM purely as an interception fishery until that area targets their local pinks and chums in late July.
And in that talk that you had with him there, Axel said that Area M didn't need to worry about escapement. What did he mean by that?
Area M is not a terminal fishery, and they aren't managed based on escapement like most other fisheries. Now, the Southeastern District mainland section below the Chinooks is dependent on the strength of the run. It's currently closed off to commercial fishing because the Chinook fisheries haven't met their escapement. If the Chinooks have commercial openers and are forecasted to harvest a certain amount, the Southeastern District mainland is allocated 7.6% of the harvest. I talked with Lisa Fox, who is the Fish and Game Area Management Biologist for the South Peninsula Fishery.
There's been a bunch of different studies that have been done on the fish that are harvested in the Southeastern District mainland, and the regulations that are currently in effect are based on a tagging study that was done a long time ago that showed that 80% of the fish that were harvested in the Southeastern District mainland were bound for Chinook. And so in a conservation kind of regulation and an agreement between the areas, there was a regulation put in place that says if the Chinook run is not meeting their goals and they're not fishing, then there can't be a fishery in the Southeastern District mainland.
But a lot of people in the Chinooks feel like those regulations aren't enough. Here's what Axel had to say.
They hammer our sockeye there, Chinook-bound sockeye in the Dolgoy Island area, which is not part of the Southeast District mainland, and the Shumagins, which is not part of the Southeast District mainland. So one area has an allocation on it, and the areas just upstream from there do not. And it's ridiculous. If you look at a chart, you look at a map, for those fish to get to Southeast District mainland, they have to go by Dolgoy Island and the Shumagins to get there.
There aren't any restrictions on the South Penn apart from the Southeastern District mainland. Lisa said that while the run is poor this year, it's still above escapement levels that have produced a viable harvest in the past. Now, last year there were some restrictions put in place in response to the run. Lisa said that on the South Penn, the last two commercial openers were reduced from 88 hours to 40 hours. Here's what she said about the broader Area M debate.
These fisheries have been going on since at least 1911. And there are communities that are built around them just the same way as there are in the escapement-based fishery areas. And the regulations have changed so much over the years. They've been really restrictive where there was barely any harvest, and they've been more liberal. The fishery windows, the period fishery that goes on in the June fishery is kind of a result of all of these regulations being changed over and over and over again over the years and kind of settling down into this is the number of hours that lets fish go through but still provides harvest.
The feeling in the Chinooks is that fishing technology has changed so drastically since Area M started fishing that also plays into how many fish that fleet is able to catch and consequently the strength of the Chinooks run.
Well, that definitely adds a lot of background on the situation in the Chinooks. Izzy, thanks for coming in.
You bet.
After a spell without fishing in Ugashik, the district had an opener yesterday. Eastside Management Biologist Paul Salamone says the Ugashik run hasn't been too large so far, but that's no cause for alarm at this point in the season.
There can be fish, and there have been, somewhere between now and the 1st of July. We usually see a little something there. The last genetics we got from Port Mola were not terribly promising, but that's also, I won't say normal. It's within the realms of possibility that we have a low signal at this time. It's still real early in the Ugashik run.
Salamone also said he errs on the side of caution when it comes to Ugashik openers.
We are concerned about people going down there and catching fish that don't belong here. Because they're passing by and they're within reach of that fleet, we'd like to go real slow on that until we figure out what's going on, particularly when we're looking at stocks that might be weaker than we think.
That'll just about do it for tonight's show. In the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast, tonight there's a southeast wind of 20 knots. Seas are at 3 feet with areas of fog. Tomorrow you'll see a south wind of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet and areas of fog. And in our messages to the fleet tonight, we've got one for the crew of the Kindred Spirit. Just to let you know, the package will arrive next week. The kittens are all doing fine. Uncle Bob says hi and try to find the fuchsia scarf. Remember, number 7 is the lucky one, and the Smokin' Armadillos are playing in Bakersfield in October. That one is from Judy. And if you'd like to get your message to the fleet out on this show, send it over in an email to fish@kdlg.org. You can also give us a call at 842-5281. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. And that shout-out to the crew of the Kindred Spirit also had a request for a tune by the Lumineers. So for our fishing song today, we've got Ophelia. I'm Alex Hager. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.
When I was young, I should have known better, and I can't feel no. And you don't feel nothing back. I got a new girlfriend. He feels like he's on top. And since the flood. Oh, Ophelia, heaven help a fool who falls in love. I got a little paycheck. You got a big plan, and you gotta move. And the flood.